Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Malachi. That is in the Old Testament. It's actually the last book in the Old Testament. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Malachi, verses 1 through 4, and it is found on page 830 of your Pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Our second reading will come from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 3 through 11, which is found on page 1022 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel thus about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both of my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 6, which is found on page 890 of your Pew Bibles. All of my pages seem stuck together for some reason. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We are in the second Sunday in Advent. And of course, Advent is a season of preparation. It's a season when we are called to get things in order for the coming of the Lord. In the ancient world, whenever an emperor or king would visit a city, he would first send out a herald or a messenger to the city to prepare for his coming. And that's what the messenger would do. He would announce the coming of the king or the emperor. And not only would he announce the coming of the king, but he would also make sure that everything was ready for the royal visit. He would make sure that the streets were cleaned and paved. He would make sure that the trash was all picked up. He would make sure that everything was in order to receive the king as the king came into the city. And Advent, too, of course, is a time of preparation when we are waiting to receive the Lord, when we are waiting to receive our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are reminded that we can't receive the Lord in any old kind of way. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And fortunately, God doesn't leave us to our own devices, but God sends us a messenger. Someone to come and help us to get ready. That's what our Old Testament lection from Malachi states. See, says the Lord, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. A messenger that will purify with fire. A messenger. Of course, that's what the name Malachi means. It means messenger. It means my messenger, to be exact. Comes from the Hebrew word malak. It's also the word for angel. That's what angels are. Angels are these magnificent, majestic, celestial messengers sent by God, usually to help us to get ready for something that God is about to do. But you don't have to be a majestic, heavenly being to be a messenger from God. In fact, God's messengers are usually just plain ordinary people who are tasked with sending a message or bringing a message from God. I remember many, many years ago when I was just a young seminarian, I was leaving church one Sunday. And I wasn't in the best of moods. Things didn't go well at church for various reasons that Sunday. And I remember leaving the church feeling a little bit defeated and feeling just kind of, you know, bad. And I got to the train station where I was waiting on the bus, and I was walking back and forth between the two parts of the train station trying to figure out if I was going to go home or if I was going to go over to a friend's house as I had planned. But I was just feeling very caustic and not feeling very, very well. And I remember as I was walking back from one part of the station, I suddenly heard the voice, "Excuse me, do these work?" And I turned around, and it was the voice of a woman. She was pointing to the payphones. You remember those payphones, perhaps. But she was pointing to the payphones, and she was wanting to know if they worked. And to be honest, this woman wasn't terribly attractive. She had on an old, grimy, red jacket and an equally dirty pink cap that was covering up her unkempt hair. And I remember telling her, "No, those phones don't work. You probably have better luck on the other side. Those phones seem to be in better repair." But instead of that ending the conversation, she kept coming and kept talking. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, here it comes. Now she's going to ask for 50 cents because she lost money in the phone. But she didn't. She just kept coming and she kept talking. And I couldn't make out anything that she was saying. It didn't make a whole lot of sense, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I kept looking away, averting my eyes, and I wanted to say, you know, I don't feel like this conversation right now. I don't want to hear this, but she just kept talking. And suddenly she got right up on me, and I was still averting my eyes, looking at a newspaper stand, trying to communicate to this woman that I didn't feel like talking. And then something said, well, just look at her. You know, some people just want to be looked at. And I remember looking at her, and she was right there looking intently into my eyes. And suddenly I was convicted that this was not just a chance encounter, but this was a message from God. This was God's message, wanting me to know that in the midst of what I was feeling, that God was still there, that God still cared, that God has not abandoned me. And that's the message, I think, that we all need to hear. See, says the Lord, I am sending my messenger before me. Every year, about this time, God sends us a messenger. God sends John the baptizer. And there's nothing majestic about John. Every year he shows up, breath reeking of locusts, wearing the same grimy camel-haired shirt. And for many people, what he has to say doesn't sound too appealing. In fact, it sounds like it's nonsense. But every year, John is the one who comes to get us ready. And every year he brings the same message, a message of repentance. Turn around, he says. Reorient your life. Repent. When we hear the word repent, of course, we don't usually think of Advent. What we usually think of is Lent. Advent is about being jolly and cheerful. It's about cookies and carols and parties and warm things. We usually don't want to hear about repenting during this season. But John reminds us that we can't receive the coming of the Lord in just any kind of way. If we're going to see the glory of God, if we're going to see the coming of God's salvation, then we're going to have to turn around. That's the message that John brings us each year. Repent, turn around. We are told that he comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. One of the things I like about John is that you can't separate the message from the messenger. Sometimes the messenger will say one thing but live something else. We're all familiar with that. People who say one thing but live in another kind of way. But whenever the message and the messenger line up, it's called integrity. And that's what John has. He has integrity. He is already out there in the wilderness. The wilderness, remember, is the place where you go to learn to trust in God. It's the place where you go to listen for God. It's a place where you go, where God's people go to wait on God. And that's what John is doing. He is out in the wilderness. He is waiting on God, and he is listening for God, and he is calling everyone to come out to the wilderness where he is. And it's important to remember what John is doing. He is engaging in a bit of political theater. He is reliving the history of God's people. He is saying, remember who we are. Remember our history. Remember how God liberated us from Egypt. Remember how God sent us in the wilderness. Remember how we wandered there. Remember how we had to listen to God there. Remember how God sent us across the River Jordan. How we left one way of life behind, an old way of life behind, to embark on a whole new journey as God's people into the promised land. Remember how that happened? Well, it's about ready to happen again. Repent. Turn around. And let us open ourselves up to the movement of God in our midst once again, and the coming of God amongst us. I had a friend in Atlanta who kind of reminded me of a John the Baptist figure. You know, he was passionate and committed, and he loved to be out front proclaiming the good news, how he understood the good news, particularly for homeless people. And he would often be in the squares where homeless people were, and also in the positions of power. And that was his message pretty much too. He didn't say it the way John said it, but it was the same message. Repent. Turn around. Unless we repent as a people, unless we repent as a city, then we will not be able to see the coming of God in our midst. Repent. Maybe that's the way John said it too. Repent with passion, maybe a little bit of anger. Repent. Or maybe he said it softer, a little more plaintively, a little more with an air of pleading about it. Repent. Please repent. Turn around. Turn your lives around and repent. Whenever we hear that message, repent, we sometimes think it's bad news, but repenting is about good news. It's about being in a position to receive the glory of God. It's about the good news of God's joy and peace and love. That's what repenting is all about. It's about the assurance that God loves us and that God has not abandoned us. And so John says, repent. Of course, what we're called to repent from and to turn away from is our sin. And sin is one of those words that we don't like to talk about much. Not even in the church, we don't talk about sin a whole lot, and I understand why. Sin, of course, is one of those words where we are usually beating up on other people. Sometimes we are more interested in highlighting other people's sins instead of paying sufficient attention to our own. But sin is simply the process of moving away from God. Sin is about defacing that God-given humanity that we have. It is about moving away from God and defacing that God-given image of humanity that we have been marked with. That's what sin does. And there are lots of things that can do that to us. There's a lot of things that can deface our humanity, destroy our humanity. Drugs can do that to you. Sexual promiscuity can do that to you. Greed can do that to you. Racism can do that to you. Poverty can do that to you. Sin prevents us from opening ourselves up completely to God and prevents us from opening ourselves up to one another. It's what prevents us from loving God with all of our hearts, minds, and soul, and what prevents us from loving one another. Someone once said that the thing about sin is not so much that it grieves God or that it makes God angry. It does. It grieves God and makes God angry. But it's not so much that it grieves God. The problem with sin is that it destroys us. It kills us. And there's nothing that grieves God more than that. That this good creation that God made, that you and me and this world, this wonderful creation that God made, gets defaced. That's what sin does. But it grieves God's heart whenever we deface that humanity inside of ourselves and deface that humanity inside of one another. And that is why God has undertaken to come into our world, to be in the midst of us, to come to us, to rescue us, to save us. That's what the word forgiveness in that Lucan passage means. It means release. It means rescue. We cannot rescue ourselves from sin. Only God can do that, and that's what God has come to do. God has broken into our world to rescue us, to liberate us from the power of sin and death. But we are reminded that before God can do that, he sends us a messenger. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And so God says, "Behold, I am sending you a messenger. I am sending you someone that will help you to be able to turn around, someone who will help you to be able to orient yourselves in the direction of life, someone that will be able to help you see the coming of the Lord. I'm going to send you a messenger, someone who will purify you, to help you to become holy and pure." I still believe that God sends us messengers today. We may not pay much attention to them. What they say may go in one ear and out the other, but we need those messengers. We need those people who come to orient us in the right direction. I was listening to the radio the other night, actually early in the morning, and I was listening to a program on the radio, and I heard what I thought was a messenger from God. It was a woman, I forget what her title was exactly, but she was talking about what we are doing to our planet and what we are doing to one another. And I thought I heard her say that we are on the verge of warming the planet to another 3 degrees, and we are continuing to pump carbons into the atmosphere. And if we continue on our current trajectory, by the end of the century, this planet that God created will be uninhabitable for a large portion of humanity, particularly people living along coastal areas, particularly people who are living in those areas of the world where they are already challenged because of climate change. And she was saying that it's already beginning to have effect, that many of the problems that we see in the world is the result of climate change, of climate being too warm or too difficult to be able to eke out of living. And so it's caused great migrations of people and political instability. And this woman was saying, and she wasn't using this language, but she was saying essentially the same thing, unless we repent, unless we turn around, unless we reorient ourselves, then we're going to create a situation that will be uninhabitable for many, many people in the world. Maybe that woman was just crazy. Maybe she didn't know what she's talking about. Maybe she's somebody that just belongs out there in the wilderness. But I think that she is a messenger from God. I think she's someone who's trying to tell us that if we want to see the healing of our planet, then we are going to have to be intentional about moving in the right direction. Here's something to think about. Today, you and I are God's messengers. You and I are the people that God has sent to get the world ready, to prepare the world for the coming of God. And the only way that we can do that is to live our lives as God's people with integrity. The message and the messenger needs to be one. The only way we can do that and give that message is by loving one another, taking care of one another, opening ourselves up to one another, living in the way that God always desired for us to live. And so our message for a hurting world, it's the same message that John brings all of us, to turn around. Unless we turn around, unless this world of ours turns around, unless it turns back towards God, unless it turns from hatred to love, unless it turns from greed to sharing, unless it turns from anger to considering the needs of one another, unless we turn around, it will be difficult for us to see the glory of God. But I like what Luke says about John, that he comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That this world is in God's hands. That God has already created the conditions for our rescue, for our liberation. That our sins are not bigger than the grace and the love of God. All we have to do is to turn in the right direction and see the radiant power of God shining in our midst. Advent is the time when we are asked to move towards the light and to allow that light to purify our hearts so that we too can be ready for the coming of God, for the coming of God deep down inside of each and every one of us, and the coming of God in the midst of our world. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we ask that as we continue in this season of Advent, that you help us to live as your people, that you help us to be the heralds of the coming mercy and grace and forgiveness and love and peace that you desire deep down to bring each and every one of us. Help us to live as the people that you have called us to be. And help us too to be the lights shining in the midst of this world so that others might see and also turn to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the coming one. Amen.